It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Blindly obvious, it's clear as can be. The things we ignore, but we all can see. Darkness, it flees when scattered by the light. Blindly obvious, hidden in plain sight.
Hello, and welcome back to Blindly Obvious for part two with Landry. Listen, I just recently saw a Dr. Joseph, a board-certified psychiatrist, former FDA medical officer. This doctor has the courage to say out loud what most never will. 95% of the people on psychiatric drugs don't need to be on it. By the way, if you want to see the video, it's in the description. Look for it. But let me interject my own opinion now. People are not suffering from drug deficiencies. These drugs are not helping you fix your problem. They're making you not care. The beauty of this podcast with Landry is you see a person that you would think would be suffering from some kind of PTSD, mental illness, difficulty with depression, not able to handle life, and quite the opposite. How is this person who otherwise should be broken, whole and healed?
I think that was the tipping point of either changing or staying in this rocky road of generational curses. And I remember many messages my youth pastor gave, and he always kind of spoke this to me as like, you have the opportunity to change your family tree.
Ooh.
Yeah. And in that moment, I'm like, turn a new page, relationship with Jesus, and then end the generational curses for my future family to change my family tree.
Looking back on your past with your family, hurting people hurt people, and I'll take a side jag here. You know, many of us listening to this podcast today, if we're honest, can see how we're a little whiny sometimes about the things that hurt us.
Yeah, why'd this have to happen
right to
me?
Yep. You know, 100%.
The victims, we've all done it. Feeling sorry for yourself.
Feeling sorry for yourself.
Like when we got to wait too long at a restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, the dumbest things are the biggest things. And we almost allow it to be our excuse to be angry, to mistreat people ourselves,
your
even ourselves.
Your socks don't match. All the serious issues.
And here you are. I'm looking at your life now. Anyone who's been listening for the past, 25, 30 minutes can see you're not a victim right now. Like, so, and what I want our people to see is that whining that you're doing about the hurts that you have isn't helping you.
No.
In fact, if anything, what you've done is what I've done, and which is what Tyler's done, is you take all of that pain and it becomes your medicine.
Right.
And it's a weird thing to say, but once you learn that I can break the cycle, I can take what's happened to me and I can make sure I never do it to anybody else. In fact, I'll do the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Which was empowering.
Isn't it? Isn't
it? It is.
Absolutely.
And so you, in other words, not only are you not going to be a victim, but you're not going to victimize anybody else.
Right. Yeah.
And so now your children will never grow up knowing that pain that you went through.
No.
And literally the curse is broken.
And that's what sin is, though. Sin is a disease.
Yeah.
And whether people realize or not, if you look in your past history and your mother, your grandfather, their great grandparents, you will see generational curses.
Mm-hmm.
After kind of going through this and experiencing it, I'm like, oh my goodness, my mom dealt with divorce. My mom saw alcoholism in her family tree, in her father, you know, and so on. So yeah, I mean, it's a legit thing, but it's also a story of redemption because it's the redeeming power of Jesus.
Well, Jesus, God shows us, I never wanted this for you in the first place.
100%.
You know, I wanted the best for you. And again, free will is terrible because people use it wrongly.
Yes.
And so now, Landry, how are you going to use your free will for others?
Yeah.
You get to be a blessing.
Yeah.
As you point people to the person who wanted to ultimately bless us with everything.
Yeah. And kind of on that point you said about feeling sorry for yourself, there were many times I sat in my room crying, thinking, literally, I remember, and like I said, I wouldn't say I had a close relationship with God, but I remember nowhere else to turn and say, why God? I lived on Fairview. My mom was renting out my grandfather's old house, and so we're living there, and it was a rough night, and I sat there, and I'm like, why God? Why me? Why do I have to go through this? This thought popped in my mind then, it won't last forever. Part of that, like feeling sorry for yourself, is also realizing, having the perspective of like, it's a season of life. Is it great? No. Is probably most of it potentially out of your control? Yes. But what can you take from it and learn from it? Now, obviously, I didn't take and learn from it till I was in the back of that cop car, but it all came full circle for me. And I called my pastor the next morning, Nate, and I said, hey, man, yeah, I got pulled over last night, 4 a.m, and, you know, was doing things I shouldn't have, but I accepted Jesus last night. And he's just like, finally, you know? And from that point on, I realized that God was going to use the brokenness for good, because he always has. Mm-hmm. And so it gave me purpose. Like, I came to know Jesus, which was amazing. The best thing I could have ever done. But I was also failing in school. I was so far behind. They had me on correspondence packets just to try to graduate. And I threw in the towel. I was a high school dropout when I came to Jesus. I didn't know what to do with my life. But I knew I there was something different. The thing I knew,
now you have
is
purpose.
I have purpose and I have hope. And I knew I was going to be okay. I knew it. I just had a peace. I said, yeah, I know. People are saying things like, what are you doing? You need to graduate. You need to do this. You need to do that. And so that whole thing started, because it's like, you came to Jesus, now we need to get your career together and everything else. And to be honest, like, sure, was I a little concerned about where I was going to go next? Yeah, but I had never experienced that type of peace in my life before. And so for me, I'm like, everybody's kind of more worried about my own life than I am.
You're kind of like, finally, because, for 5 yeah, minutes, I don't feel like I'm living in chaos.
Because I was finally free, man.
There is a tremendous freedom when you realize, and it sounds like it all happened at one time for you, but that life is bigger than the moment that I'm in, or even zooming out a little bit, seeing yourself from birth to death, life is bigger than this. And now that I've accepted Christ and found purpose and meaning where it truly is,
mm-hmm,
I'm not worried about all these things that everybody else is chasing. And
I wasn't.
Yeah.
And I wasn't.
It's an awesome
feeling.
It
was amazing. I'm like, you guys are more concerned about my own life than I am.
Right.
I'm like, trust me, I understand there are things that obviously need work. Right. Of course. I understand that now. But I believe if God has gotten me to this point, I knew. If I came to know Jesus, I knew I was going to be fine.
But how many of us are missing that other perspective?
Even in the church today.
Mm-hmm.
Missing
the perspective. Sure. If you really believe, if you really have faith, you're right. You're going
to
be good.
So come to find out, faith is my number one spiritual gift. Hey. It actually is, which is kind of funny when I start diving into like spiritual gifting and stuff. But anyways, and so, you know, I had a passion about ministry, and I remember my youth pastor, and we disagreed for a while on this, and that's okay. You can have a disagreement with somebody and still love them.
Not anymore today. I think you're not allowed to do that.
But I know.
In reality, yes, you can. But today, people just don't understand that.
I know. And so we had this conversation back and forth. I said, Nate, I want to go into ministry. He's like, well, you need to graduate. I said, okay, I agree. Then you need to go to seminary. And I said, I don't agree. I said, I'm going to graduate. But I believe, from what I see in Scripture, that if God really desires me, and it's his will for me to go into ministry, he will pave a path. I'm not saying that ministry or seminary may not be a part of that, or may be a part of that. I don't know. But I do know it doesn't revolve around college all the time. He's like, I think you need to go. I disagree, but I said, okay. So anyways, I graduated. I went back and got my GED. And then I started asking people, pastors, even my youth pastor, leadership opportunities. Give me a leadership opportunity. Lynn Lowen at Youth for Christ, started hanging around him and other mentors, started becoming a group leader, understand what it meant to lead people in general. So my path was very disorganic. I mean, I was broke, man. I'm like, I can't go to seminary. I'm like, you talk about stewardship all the time.
Where's your Taco Bell friend, man? He is
concert. Yeah, we're, hey, bro, you want to pay my $100,000 private tuition for me to get a ministry degree to make $30,000 my first year coming out? Anyways, not knocking seminary.
No.
But all I'm saying is I'm like, there's no way I could afford it. Like, I don't even know where to start. I mean, no one ever taught me that kind of stuff. So I just started learning from other pastors is what I did. And then it led to, you know, mentorship opportunities to internship opportunities, then into my first full-time ministry gig. And then it just has gone from there. And then it's funny, years later, I remember like probably 3 years ago, I was at an Orange conference for youth ministry with my old youth pastor at the time. We were sitting there in Chicago listening to this guy talk about like, hey, if he calls you, unschooled or not, you're qualified. And
so I told you.
Yeah. See? Well, after that talk, I remember his wife's like, man, she's like, you know, as we go further in years in ministry, we realize that seminary is not the go-to thing.
I mean, and for some people, sure it is, but yes, you're right. Also, yes, there are plenty of people who go to seminary who don't necessarily have a calling on their life, and mm-hmm. they just do nothing more than regurgitate the information yep. they've retained.
Yeah. We won't name those pastors on TV.
yeah. Or just even leadership skills. I mean, it takes a lot of leadership, and I've realized that. I'm like, man, I mean, it challenges me all the time. But
all seminary is, in the end, for that training is you're paying for a mentor. You can get mentors who will just do it for free.
Yeah, you can. Right? I know one.
Yeah. 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 So anyway, so that's part of my journey. And, you know, I met my wife during my internship and got three kids now. And I stepped out of student ministries recently. Obviously, I came back to Cedar Creek and Findlay. And I do groups and outreach, which is probably my passion. Like, I'm big in discipleship. I love discipleship. And I love outreach. Obviously, I have a heart for people, just for what people did for me and what I experienced. I just have a passion for that. And, you know, and I have a passion for people to see that, you know, there's hope, and that, you know, as Christians, we're called to serve and have people, you know, people to have an encounter with the unconditional love of Christ. And that's what I love.
Cool.
So, yeah. And then obviously other things I picked up, I do real estate and, you know, I dabble in that. So.
Pretty awesome.
A lot of people in our society today walk around with closed fist. I want control. Even Christians. God, you can have this part of my life, but you can't have this, this, and this because I'm in control. And I think the longer you walk like this with your fists closed and thinking that you have yourself, I mean, you're sadly mistaken. We unfortunately always lead ourselves down a path of destruction, chaos, and confusion.
You're exactly right.
And to dead ends. I've been there. We hit dead end after dead end after dead end after trying to fix or create things in my own life or create my own opportunities, whatever it may be. And I think we need to have the picture of ourselves living life with open hands to receive whatever it is that sure. God desires for us. I know a lot of times we think that we know better, but we don't.
Even if you say, well, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in anything. You're being led and influenced by something or someone.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it?
Yeah. A life of full surrender is a life that I desire. But you have to say yes to that.
And the hard part with that is you got to wake up every day and surrender.
Yes. Daily surrender. Pick up your cross daily.
Yeah.
It's a life of relationship with Jesus. It's a life of surrender. But, man, the fruit and from that and the blessing and even the purpose you get from that and clarity you get on your own life is, mm-hmm. I mean, it's changed my life. Is it sometimes the harder road? Most of the time, yes.
World's telling you, well, you should just do this to solve your problem. Yeah. And God says, well, no, actually, you should do this.
Yeah.
And then it's hard to separate from what everybody else around me thinks I should do this. Yep. And God says I should do that.
But clearly, you're the happiest you've ever been.
Yeah, and most fulfilled I've ever been in my whole life.
Right.
And that's
what
I mean.
Giving your life away.
Yeah, right.
That's what I mean. Like, when you say that, that doesn't make sense, you know, but it is.
It's called, like, you know, what they call it, like the upside down kingdom mentality. It's not living for this kingdom. It's living for an eternal kingdom.
Mm.
And when you live for eternal kingdom, you have eternal perspective.
And none of this stuff matters.
Exactly.
Well, that makes this, who out there right now would say this kingdom they're living in isn't difficult?
Every day.
Everybody would say
every
that, right?
Every day.
But yeah. when you have the eternal perspective, like Landry's saying, that makes this kingdom easier to deal with.
That's why you have hope and despair.
Yeah, because exactly.
I'm just in transit, man.
This is going to end. Just passing
it's
through.
It's going to end, right?
It's going to end.
And that's the thing. It gives you, when you have eternal perspective, you know this is all on a timeline. Where we're at right now, we live in time. Where I'm headed, there is no time.
Right.
Therefore, time has an end at some point on our timeline, and therefore we all have an end. So it's like, for me, it's, this is your life. Does your life really matter that much? Your life matters in the perspective of, like, you have kingdom work to do, but when it comes to your success, your personal success, your status, your money, your materials, how good you look, the car you drive.
All vanity.
How sweet your muscles are because you work out every day. It's going to go away. Your body's going to decompose. Your house over generations will not stand anymore, will be flattened one day, and your wealth will be gone. What are you going to invest in eternally here on earth in a worldly kingdom? That's probably the thing that changed the most, is it went from self to dying to self and doing whatever Christ asked me to do. And then ultimately that means putting myself in a lowly place to serve others, to lift others up to him.
Little Landry, alone in his room, wounded, asking God why. Why me? Why this? Why now? Why? And the cool part is, you got your answer. And all that stuff you went through manifested the gift that is now your greatest strength, your faith.
Yeah. Yep. 100%. Sometimes I think, of course, we're all human and we always face doubt, discouragement. Through our ministry careers or just in life in general for anybody who's a Christian. And
you
the
have
burden.
Bad days.
Yeah, exactly. And in those moments, I look back and I'll be like, okay, God, it's a tough day. Maybe it's been a tough year, but it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that you've had me then and you have me now. I think about that when I'm having tough days.
We've all got the days of clarity, and hopefully you have more days of clarity than anything else,
right?
But there's always fog.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus reminded us there's going to be challenges and trials here.
Right.
There's going to be sacrifice.
Yep.
And I think sometimes people think, oh man, if I just kind of know Jesus, everything's just going to swirl together and come together and be
rainbows and butterflies,
man.
And unicorns.
It's like a deep sense of peace and joy that won't leave you if you're truly worshiping him through your highs and lows. It does not mean external and physical circumstances become all of a sudden great and prosperity, like the prosperity gospel mentality. And
just
that's
means
not,
you got a way to deal with it.
It's peace in the storm that surpasses all understanding.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
That you can't explain. So anyways.
But you can see it.
Yeah.
You can see it.
And you know, I talk to my wife about this every once in a while, but it's just like, man, my kids don't realize, like,
isn't it great though? They don't know.
Yeah, they have no idea.
And they'll never know.
And they'll never know.
They'll never know.
They'll never know.
I think what's really cool, man, is you have a story that so many people, maybe not in the exact same context of how their lives were changed, but or the exact same thing they're going through, but in a similar circumstance, you have a very similar story to so many people, even with, you know, as you talk about our parents being emotionally unavailable. And cycles of, you know, family traumas. And so, I mean, some people have both living parents and it's like they're dead. They don't communicate with them.
Fast forward. My mom and I have a fantastic relationship. My mom goes to my church. She goes every single weekend with her family. She invites my siblings into coming. My sister comes to my church consistently every Sunday, joined a group. And, you know, my mom doesn't deal with her struggles that she used to have. And she's in a great marriage now and is very much a part of my kids' lives and a great grandma. And my dad is doing really good. I want to say he got baptized a couple years ago.
Awesome.
And so, you know, he's part of church every single weekend where he's at. He lives down by Dayton. So
What's great is look at the difference you've already made. And that people, like we said earlier, you just don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
So when you're able to actually communicate and work on these problems and have the Holy Spirit along the way, to kind of work these things out. What a difference.
Yeah, so it's just great. I mean, it's great to watch your family go through so much, and then from myself to seeing my mom grow so much. And
when you get to see everybody live now in stability, right? Like, it's not constant. Okay, oh, I wonder who's over here today. I wonder what so and so's doing. You already know they're doing what they should be doing,
and it just makes life a lot easier. Yeah, it's been fun, and I'm back in Findlay, and
wonderful.
I love being here and investing in this community. So,
Landry, thanks so much, man, for joining us. Yeah. And you want to pray us out?
God, we just thank you for this time, Father. We just praise you for just how good you are to us. And God, for anybody watching that's going through hard times, Father, I just pray that they would just surrender their life to you. Father, that they recognize that you have us, that you're faithful, and that you're good. And that, God, if people are struggling with challenges in their own life, whether it's family or personal issues, God, that it's not the end of their story. But God, when they turn to you, you're just beginning their story. And that you'll use all things for good, Father, to glorify you, to bring people closer to you. I just pray a blessing over everybody that's listening to this. We just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
We're walking past the signs each day. In little things missed along the way, the symbols hidden in glamour's light, blindly obvious, but out of sight. Misdirection, the magician's lie. A trick so good you don't ask why. The truth, it sits with open arms, but we fool ourselves with deception's charm. Blindly see it, the roads lead back to you.